Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and we're so glad to have you with us on this Monday. Last week, amid the intense media focus on Michael Cohen's testimony, there was another very important hearing on Capitol Hill. This one at the House Judiciary Committee focused on the origins of the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy that led to family separation at the southern border. And with that, another alarming issue was raised. The 4,500 complaints of sexual assault the Office of Refugee Resettlement, or ORR, said they received between fiscal year 2015 and 2018. Here's Representative Ted Deutsch, a Democrat representing Florida's 22nd District.
I am deeply concerned with documents that have been turned over by HHS that record a high number of sexual assaults on unaccompanied children in the custody of the Office of Refugee and Resettlement. Together, these documents detail an environment of systemic sexual assaults by staff on unaccompanied children.
Many of those allegations involved one minor abusing another, but 178 of the complaints were against staff at the shelters, Deutsch said. Here's Deutsch questioning Jonathan White, commander of U.S. Public Health Service.
Representative, let me first correct an error. Those are not HHS staff in any of those allegations. That statement is false. Those
Commander
are
out.
No, sir.
Commander White, you are speaking of allegations of sexual abuse against members of my team. Commander White. You know what I've seen in these reports that were delivered to us, buried in stacks of documents, this thick, without any notation. I saw thousands of cases of sexual abuse, if not by HHS staff, then by the people that HHS staff oversees.
And I have Congressman Ted Deutsch on the line with me now. Congressman, did you ever get a satisfactory answer to that question?
No, of course not. And thanks for having me on. What was so frustrating about the response was, here's the one person on our panel whom we knew opposed the separation policy. And I didn't expect that his defense of these horrific findings would be essentially, don't be so upset. This abuse wasn't actually done by HHS employees. It was shocking to me, it's troubling, and it raises a whole host of other questions that we're now pursuing.
HHS began keeping track of these allegations under the Obama administration in 2014. Wondering, what motivated that decision, if you have any insight on that? And the second question is, what's the protocol for investigating these claims? Whose responsibility is that?
Right. Well, that's a great question. Going back, the Obama administration actually went so far as to put a rule out to be clear about how these types of allegations would be handled. It was a serious concern with the large number of kids, unaccompanied minors, who were in these facilities. And the kinds of we don't know about the process. We don't know how these kids communicate it. We don't know whether they're told how to explain to their caretakers if something is happening to them that makes them fearful or that puts them at risk, how they explain that. We don't know what the process is, and we don't know when they make these allegations. We don't know what's happened. That's the next question here. In these cases, some of it is really horrific, but it's showing officials, adults showing photos to these kids, sexual photos to the kids, touching the kids, really awful stuff. And we don't know that when they completed these investigations, all the report says is in some instances, the adult was reassigned. In some instances, they were terminated. We don't know what the Department of Justice did with all of them. That's what we need to find out. And we especially need to know why they were so defensive in saying that they weren't HHS employees. Well, if these were private contractors, what was the oversight of them? What was the background check process for them? And why shouldn't HHS be ultimately responsible for everything that they do. Obviously,
also, Congressman, we did hear part of the testimony from Commander White of the U.S. Public Health Service say that the, quote, the vast majority of these allegations also proved to be unfounded when they are investigated. How we know that less than 200 allegations so far point to staff. The rest are seen to be minors abusing other minors. What do we know to be true right now?
That was the other part that was so disconcerting. HHS's defense was, you know, this is really less than 1% of all of the kids in our care. Well, it does amount to, on average, one case of sexual assault by an adult on an unaccompanied minor per week. That is unacceptable. And the tolerance level for this type of abuse should be zero. There shouldn't be any. That's why it's so important that we continue to probe to figure out exactly what's happening here in order to help protect these kids.
The point that you made at the hearing, Congressman, is that we know that there is this record of sexual abuse of migrant children without their parents, and yet still the administration moved forward with the policy of separating parents from their children. When you asked about this in the hearing, what was the response?
There was none. The only response that I received is the one that you played, which is an immediate attempt by HHS to shift the focus to the fact that this was happening. They acknowledged, but it wasn't us, is what they said. It wasn't our employees. And obviously that's a wholly unsatisfactory answer. The question that I then went on to ask, which I never got an answer to, was, did the Secretary of HHS know at the time that the president chose to move forward with this zero tolerance policy, did the secretary know that this type of abuse was happening? And did he tell anyone else in the administration? Did he tell the president? Did anyone, was there any communication about what might happen to these kids when they were taken from their parents and put into these facilities?
So last question for you, what do you expect Congress to do?
I expect the HHS officials to meet with us to give us answers to these questions. And if they don't, then it is likely the next time we'll see them is in another committee hearing where they'll be testifying before us under oath.
Congressman Ted Deutsch is a Democrat representing Florida's 22nd district. We reached out directly to the Office of Health and Human Services and have not yet heard back. Congressman, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Sylvia Foster Frau covers immigration for the San Antonio Express News, and she followed up with one of the complaints outlined in the documents made public by Representative Deutsch. Sylvia, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You followed up with one specific sexual abuse complaint in a federal detention center in the San Antonio area. Can you give us a sense of what that complaint said?
We just kind of zeroed in on one of the allegations. It was a staff member that gave pages from a pornographic magazine to a child in January of 2016. It was at the Baptist Child and Family Services Shelter, and it was reported to the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is the federal government agency, and also to the Department of Justice. So this one technically arose to some sort of level where they felt the Department of Justice needed to get involved. And then it does say here, you know, that the staff member was investigated and fired. Kind of an interesting aspect to this is that BCFS said in a statement that it has never had an employee charged with sexual abuse of a child in our care. And so that can kind of lead us to believe a number of things to explain that discrepancy. For one, we don't actually know if this staff member was criminally charged. The other distinction that I think is important to note is in these documents, when they talk about employees, there's federal employees and there's also staff members. And both, according to HHS, undergo background checks that include fingerprinting. But according to HHS as a whole, there were no federal employees that have been charged. So when you talk about the allegations against staff members, they were not federal employees, they were other staff members. And so one question that I'm still looking into is, well, why is it that the staff members that have been accused are not federal employees? You know, is there some kind of difference in the hiring process that would lead it to be kind of one group disproportionately accused over another? So that's another aspect that could play into that discrepancy.
I'm curious, what else can we expect? The reports that we continue to hear coming out of these facilities are that children have either gone missing, they've been sexually abused. Is there any hope for a strong response at this point to any of these allegations?
You know, I think the more we have hearings and the more we see data on just how concerning these allegations are, it is possible that more oversight will be put in place. And you have a lot of other nonprofits and other organizations and social workers who are constantly concerned about the well-being of migrant children. But in the end, you just kind of have to look at the national level, and you hear about words of a humanitarian crisis. But at the end, it really depends on what you think that humanitarian crisis is. You know, some want to place the blame on the human trafficking and the smuggling that comes across the border, and that is the humanitarian crisis, where others say it's the government itself for its housing of migrant children and inability to, stem the sexual abuse and sexual misconduct that happens. So it's really a matter on the national level of, you know, what is the humanitarian crisis? Where are we pointing blame? And then from there, you know, then the next step would be accountability for whatever they choose to focus on.
Sylvia, who is protecting these children? I guess the big question, regardless of who you are or what side of the political divide that you stand on, I feel as though at the end of the day, these are children. Is there anyone protecting these children?
So they're in government care, and with that comes medical facilities, and there are social workers there, and I think you have a lot of good people who come to those shelters and facilities genuinely wanting to care for and in some cases educate, and you know, whatever their role is, they're there to try to help these children and to ensure that they're placed in family sponsors that are safe and that will help them grow. So I think you do have a lot of good-meaning people in these facilities that are genuinely there trying to help them. But, you know, this is taxpayer money, and so it really is holding all of us accountable for what happens to these children and if they make it out okay.
Sylvia Foster Frau is a reporter with the San Antonio Express News, and she followed up on one case of sexual abuse of a child in a federally administered immigration detention center. Sylvia, thank you for your reporting.
Thank you.